Welcome to the North Central Baptist Church podcast. We hope you're challenged by the message from our pastor.
Okay, I would like for you to, if you need one of these yellow sheets for our Bible study tonight, if you would raise your hand, somebody will bring them to you, and that'll be great. I'd like us to have prayer tonight. I'd like to lead us in prayer for a people group in Indonesia. Tim and Tiffany Webble are missionaries in Indonesia. And the Joshua Project is an organization that they have a people group every day that you can pray for. I have a little thing on my app. You can get it on my phone. You can get a little app on your phone. Or you can do it on your computer. And I think we have this up on the screen. The Java Pesisir Lor people in Indonesia are a people of 36 million. And they are totally unreached. Y'all realize there are 3,000 unreached people groups in the world. These are God's creation. God created these people and they do not know of the gospel. Interesting note. There was a man at Fuller Seminary, and in 1973, Dr. Billy Graham had a conference in Switzerland, Malcolm, in Lausanne. And it was a international meeting of evangelism worldwide, and he had it there. A man from Fuller Seminary named Ralph Winter got up and gave a paper. He gave a presentation, and for the very first time, he talked about people groups. Now, that's a normal thing for us to talk about now, is that there are people groups all over the world. Ralph Winter, he didn't invent it. Actually, when it says make disciples of all nations, that word for nations is actually people groups. So it's not that he invented it, but he brought it to the forefront that the evangelical world think about people groups. These are people that are tied together by culture, by language, not always geographically, although many times it's geographic. In the past, we always did missions by country. We said, we're going to this country. And is there a work in that country? The problem is there were multiple people groups in countries, and we could say, oh yes, we're in Indonesia, but we would have missed this group of people. So now the missiologist, our international mission board, they are going after people groups. And that's the history of why we do that now. So would you just bow your heads and agree with me in prayer for the Java Pesisir Lor people of Indonesia? And let me just read this. One of the outreach ideas that is for this group of people, the Bible and many good tools such as the Jesus film are available in the language of these people. But we need to pray for workers that will take the gospel to this group. This is a Islamic group. This is their religion. 36 million strong in Indonesia. And I think about Tim and Tiffany that are there trying to minister to these and other people groups that they reach out to. Let's bow for prayer. Our Father, we come to you and we pray for the Java Pesisir Lor people group in Indonesia. It is our prayer, Lord, that you would send laborers into the harvest to take the gospel to these people. Use the tools that are available. The translation of God's word, the Jesus film, other tools that might penetrate and push back the walls of darkness for these people. Lord, I pray for Tim and Tiffany, and I pray for others, our other missionaries that are in this region of the world. Lord, that your hand might rest upon their lives as they seek to be obedient to the call upon their life to take the gospel to these people, Lord. We love you tonight. Thank you for the time we have to study your word. Bless us tonight, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Open your Bibles up to the book of Acts. We are going to study quickly the book of Acts. And we are in this series, The Greatest Story Ever Told. And the greatest story ever told is the story of God's Word. And so we're taking an overview over books of the Bible. Now, I just want to do a little review here. Hey, Brother Stanley, would you help me pick this thing up? I like to get down. I want to see the whites of your eyes. Keep going. Just kidding. All right. Thank you. So I just want us to review because I want us to get the big picture of these books of the Bible. We're going to go real quick. If I say to you, and I'm going to do the blanks real quick. If I say to you a family tree, that's the book of Genesis. It talks about beginnings. If I say to you the word binoculars, what book of the Bible is that? Number four, Proverbs. If I say the word, get in the wheelbarrow, what? That's the book of John, number three. If I say, boy, I need a Kleenex, Lamentations and Jeremiah. Now, some of you may say, why in the world did you come up with these object lessons? Well, you're going to have to go to the podcast, I guess, and listen to them all because it won't make sense to you. But you can fill in these blanks here. All right, what about grow up and get off the pacifier? That's the book of James. Be mature. Be mature is the theme there. All right, put blood on the doorpost. What book of the Bible? That's what they did in the book of Exodus. All right, there was a sign put on the cross that said, this is Jesus, King of the Jews. So the sign on the cross, what book? Matthew, that's right. Now this one, I want to make sure you know it. The thought bubble. What book of the Bible is that? Now the reason why is because in the book of Philippians, it's the joy book. And 19 times in the book of Philippians, it says rejoice or have joy. But 16 times it mentions something to deal with the mind. And the correlation is this, that having joy in the midst of difficulty relates to our mind, the way we think. And so it's a very important correlation there. So the key word is joy, and the object lesson is the thought bubble. All right? All right, the key word for Psalms is praise. All right? And then, well, there's two dimensions, horizontal and vertical, all right, in that for that blank there. Now, the key, now, I want to go back 2 weeks ago, and I went back and listened to Matt's message. Matt did a great job on Malachi. I love Malachi. Matt, you stole a good book, man. That was good. Malachi, good. Now, here's what I want you to think about, and Matt said this. I listened to it, and it's really helpful. His message on Malachi was so helpful. You know what Malachi was? It's a wake-up call. It's a wake-up call, how you can slowly drift. And he made a great point. He said, I'm not going to get up and decide I'm going to be a rebel against God and go face-to-face against the Lord. But he said, one of the temptations I have is to slowly drift away. And so Malachi is a wake-up call. So here's what I want you to think about the object lesson. Put down an alarm clock. It's a wake-up call, okay? You do know you're going to have a test on this when you get to heaven, don't you? You better know this stuff. All right. Okay, here we go. Now, tonight, the book of Acts. Look at Acts chapter 1, verse 8. This is a key verse for the book of Acts. I have to hold my finger on this. I've got the font so small on this thing. I got to hold my finger on here and know where I am. Okay, Acts chapter 1, verse 8, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. Acts chapter 1, 8 is the key verse, and it really gives you an outline of the book of Acts, because it is really the book is about church expansion. That's the blank there. The key phrase is church expansion, or the gospel going forth. It is an example of that. We see that in the book of Acts. If you read the book of Acts from chapter 1, verse 1, all the way to the end, you're going to see how the gospel spread. So that's very, very important. Now, number one, sometimes it is called the Acts of... Okay, that's what it's called in your... If you look at... I'm looking at my Bible. I have a little study Bible right here, and at the very top of Acts chapter 1, verse... Acts chapter 1, it says the Acts of the Apostles. But some have said, and I just want to plant this bug in your ear, sometimes it is called the Acts of the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit moved in the world through God's people. So that's just something for you to realize. And if you look at chapter 2, verses 1 through 13, that is the day of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit came. And when he came, he filled the hearts of the people. He filled the lives of the people. And God did a great and mighty work in chapter 2 of the book of Acts. And the people in Jerusalem, there were 3,000 people that came to know Christ on that very day. Number two, Acts described years, I want you to get this, of transition. Because think about it. The Jews practiced what was going on in the Old Testament. Jesus came and said, I have a new covenant. So the book of Acts, we see some transitions in some things. And this is very interesting. One of the things that caused transition was persecution. Look at Acts chapter 4, verse 1. Acts chapter 4, verse 1. Now, as they spoke to the people, the priest and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being greatly disturbed that they taught the people and preached in Jesus the resurrection of the dead. Go to chapter 8, verse 1. One of the reasons this is a book of transition, persecution caused movement. Okay? You need to know that about the book of Acts. Persecution caused movement. In chapter 8, verse 1, now Saul was consenting to his death, the death of Stephen. At that time, a great persecution arose against the church which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. So one of the things that drove the expansion of the church was persecution. And God has always used persecution to grow the church, his church. But we see that in the book of Acts in a key way. So you look at chapter 8, verses 4 and 5. You see the gospel spreading outward. That's the blank there. You're talking about years of transition. 30 years of transition is being described here. And so the gospel is spreading outward. If you look at chapter 2, you're going to see it in chapter 2, verse 14. It says, but Peter, standing up with the 11, raised his voice and said to them, men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and heed my words. And then you go on and you look at verse 41 of that chapter, and it says, then those who gladly received the word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. This is the gospel spreading outward. Look at Acts chapter 8, verses 4 and 5. You see it in that passage. Acts chapter 8, verses 4 and 5. Therefore, those who were scattered went everywhere preaching the word. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ to them. So you see the gospel expanding, the gospel spreading outward. You can go to chapter 13. We won't read that one. Chapter 13, verse 1 is when they were in Antioch and the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul," and there were others, and they were for the work which I've called them, and they laid hands on them and they sent them out. So the book of Acts is a book about the expansion of the gospel. It's a transitional book as well. For example, look at Acts chapter 2, verse 38. Now, I don't want to stir you up on something, but I just want to say you this. Whenever there's a place in the book of Acts, I don't know if I pinpointed it. There's a place in the book of Acts when the apostles came from Jerusalem to a Gentile group and they said, "Have you received," they said this to the Gentiles, they said, "Have you received the Holy Spirit since you believed?" Now, wait a minute. This is a transitional book in the sense that different things were happening. The gospel went to the Jews first in Jerusalem, but then it started spreading. And Acts is kind of full of angst in the sense that, man, the church is spreading. The gospel is spreading. How are we going to handle this? So they went to that group of people, the apostles. They said, "Have you received the Holy Spirit since you believed?" They said, "We didn't even know there was a Holy Spirit." And the Bible says they laid their hands on them and they received the Holy Spirit. Now let me ask you a question. We had a young man come this morning that 2 months ago had given his life to Jesus Christ. As best I understand the New Testament, when he gave his life to Jesus Christ 2 months ago, he has the Holy Spirit, right? But in a certain place in Acts, there was a group of people that had believed, and they said, "We didn't even know there was a Holy Spirit." We have to be careful. I'm not saying there are not lessons for us to learn. We preface everything we teach with this statement: God can do anything God wants to do. Amen? But you don't want to build your whole theology on one scripture in one book of the Bible, particularly in a transitional book, a book when the whole church was getting started. So look at this. When you think about the Holy Spirit, Acts 2:38, we read that. Look at Acts 8:14. Acts 8 verse 14 says, "Now when the apostles who were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent Peter and John, who when they had come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit." All right, now that's not even the one I was referencing, but it's another one where Gentiles had believed, but they had not received the Holy Spirit. All right, look at chapter 10, verse 44. Chapter 10, verse 44. "While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who heard the word." Now all of a sudden, they're getting the Holy Spirit when they're hearing the word. Look at chapter 19, verse 2. Chapter 19, verse 2. Oh, this is the one that I was referencing. I'm sorry, I did have it down there. "He said to them, 'Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?' And they said to him, 'We have not so much as heard whether there is a Holy Spirit.'" I'm telling you, God was moving in the book of Acts all over the world, all over the known world where they went. God was moving, but this is a transitional book. It's an amazing study to study the book of Acts. Now, I want you to go to the book of Ephesians, Galatians, Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 13. "In him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise." Now, this particular doctrine written by the Apostle Paul gives us, and along with other epistles, is what leads us to know that once the canon was closed and the scripture was done, that people do it like they do in Ephesians chapter 1 verse 12. They have believed upon the gospel and they receive the Holy Spirit. And so I just thought I would point that out, that the book of Acts is a transitional book. I don't want to stir you up, but I want you to realize that sometimes when you read in the book of Acts and you see something that happened, and then you read later chronologically in Scripture, it may not come out exactly that way, okay? So the gospel is spreading outward. This is a book about the transition of the gospel going forward. And then the Holy Spirit and His work in the world, we see that transition as the Holy Spirit begins to fall upon the people of God. One other thing that's kind of interesting that I'll just point out, look at Acts chapter 6. And I'm glad I put this in here because we have the very beginnings. Not saying you get it all from this. Once again, Acts is a book of transitions. But you get somewhat of a sense of church government from this book of the Bible. They had a problem and they chose some co-laborers in chapter 6, verses 1 through 4. Well, let me read verse 3. Therefore, brethren, seek out from among you seven men of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And look at verse 5. This is just interesting. Just a little bit of an insight. Just a little bit of a window to look through to see what God may establish as church government. It says, and the saying pleased the whole multitude. Now there are some places that, and they have good arguments. They would say, we don't conduct business where the whole church is aware. Truthfully, I'm sitting here thinking about all the things I could say. Three forms of government. There's the Episcopalian form of church government, which is where there is one. It's really the Catholic view that has a pope, one person. The Episcopos is over the entire church. That is one form of church government. Then there is the Presbyterian model that has a shared, like a synod or a group of bishops that are from different congregations. That means that some leaders over here at our sister church right down the road at Northwest and our sister church over here at Westside, and then some of our people here would get together on one group of leaders, and they could tell all three of us what to do. We believe in a, and most Baptist churches believe in a congregational form of church government. And part of it, not all of it, but part of it comes from this. And it pleased the whole multitude. The whole church agreed. Just like tonight, we had a business conference. Now, I'm not saying we do everything perfectly, but anybody in this church could have come in here tonight and been a part of this business meeting. That's why you came tonight. You wanted to be a part of this business meeting. You're supposed to smile and laugh when I say that. No, I'm kidding. I'm being serious. But we looked at this whole thing together, okay? So, you get a little bit of a picture of church government in the book of Acts as well. Now, also, the book of Acts has a lot of messages in it, or speeches. There are 24 major speeches in the book of Acts. Peter had 8, Paul had 9. We see in Acts chapter 9, verses 1 through 16, the conversion of Paul. A key event was the Jerusalem Council. We don't have time to go into it, but in Acts chapter 15, you can look at that. When the Jews that were converted to Christ, when the apostles realized that the gospel had gone to the Gentiles, hey, that's us, primarily, the Gentiles. They said, wait a minute. Do they have to become a Jew before they can become a Christian? And they had a council about that, and you go back and read that verse 11, and that verse 11 in Acts 15 gives indication that But we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved in the same manner as they. In other words, salvation is the same for all, by faith alone in Christ alone. And so the Jerusalem Council dealt with that. And then number six, you have key missionary journeys. So, I think that a object lesson to put on this in number seven, just write this down. The missionary map. Hopefully this will help you remember the book of Acts is about missions going forward. One thing that is a lesson for us to take out of, two quick lessons out of the book of Acts. Acts chapter 13, God calls people out of worship. God calls people out of worship. In Acts chapter 13, the Bible says they were ministering and fasting, and the Lord said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul. Can I say this to you? Don't be surprised if in a worship service, God doesn't knock on your door and say to you, hey, I want you to do this. Hey, I want you to go here. Hey, I want you to do this. Even as you minister and worship in your own quiet time, out of worship, God calls his people. The other lesson that is important that we get from the book of Acts is this. God is powerful to save. Just write this down. It's not on here. Acts chapter 16, verses 25 through 33 is one of my favorite passages in Acts. It's the Philippian jailer. You remember the jailer? Paul and Silas were singing hymns. They were singing in prison at midnight. And all of a sudden the Lord opened the door and the jailer was going to kill himself. He thought, it's over with. It's my job to keep these guys here. And Paul said, don't harm yourself. And the Bible makes a most beautiful statement. It says, he says, what must I do to be saved? He said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. Then he says this, you and your household. I love that. So the gospel is powerful to save. A missionary map, the expansion of the gospel, the expansion of the church is the book of Acts. Let's bow our heads in prayer.
Thanks for letting this small part of North Central Baptist Church experience stream into your life. We hope you will visit us soon and become part of the family of North Central Baptist Church, reflecting Christ's light on Gainesville and the world.